The words of God given to us today are from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" Amen. Their illusions and the reality. The dictionary defines illusion as a deceptive or false appearance which does not exist, but appears to exist, or which appears in a way that is different from the reality. At the opposite end, the reality is the state of things as they actually exist. At first thought, the illusion, which is false, should be invisible to the eyes, and the reality, which is true, should be visible to the eyes. However, there are many instances where illusion is visible to the eyes and reality is not visible to the eyes. The world believes only visible things to be of value. There is a word in Korean called spec. It is short for specifications, which refer to characteristics of products. Companies check this when hiring, and this is deemed a requirement for the people looking for jobs. This includes what school you graduated from, what grades you had, what your score was in TOEIC, which is a standardized test for English language proficiency, and what kind of experience you had. These are all visible to the eyes, and it is possible to support these by submitting evidentiary materials. However, there are many cases where the people who are equipped with the right spec are not the same as those who are actually good at their job or suitable for the position. That is because the spec, which is visible to the eyes, is an illusion. The reality would be invisible, like the character and capabilities. This reality matters more than the illusion when the work is carried out at the workplace. Today's world also considers outward appearance to be important. This principle applies to marriage. The dating services have a system of hierarchy for the members. This is the standard for classifying the members who enroll in the services to look for partners for marriage. The classification includes job, education, family background, wealth, and appearance. This is also a type of spec. Of course, it is not as if the man and the woman who are classified at the top would have a happy marriage. There are many cases where the outward beauty is not matched by inner beauty. The life that goes after an illusion is without faith and maturity in character. The Israelites, who were slaves in Egypt, faced many challenges on the way out of Egypt to Canaan. Whenever they faced a challenge, God reached out to them in the way they could not imagine. There was the parting of the Red Sea, the bread manna from the sky, and the water coming out of the rock. These were the works of God that went beyond the limits of human imagination. The last challenge for the Israelites before entering the land of Canaan was crossing the Jordan River. Joshua chapter 3, verses 14 to 17 explains how the Israelites crossed the river in the following passage. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage at all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down the Sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. The season for harvesting grains in the region of Jordan was when the river was overflowing and it was impossible to cross the river. It was around April in terms of the modern calendar. The River of Jordan was about 30 meters in width in the dry season, but during the harvest season, Mount Hermon in the northern Israel had the snow melt and flow down, the water would flow down to the Jordan River. So the river became hundreds of meters in width. When the water covered the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, containing the words of God, the river, which was wildly flowing, stopped. The Israelites were able to cross the Jordan as if on the dry land. In other words, these people experienced the second miracle of the Red Sea. When they put forth the Ark of the Covenant, containing the words of God, at the forefront. This meant that they were relying on God because it was impossible for over 2 million people, which included 6 million men, 0.6 million men, to cross this river, which was overflowing. Once the Israelites crossed the Jordan, they faced the gates of Jericho. Joshua chapter 6 verses 4 to 5 and verse 20 explains how they were able to take the gates of Jericho in the following passage. Have seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the seventh day, march around the city seven times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, everyone straight in. When the trumpets sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, so everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. The Israelites did not engage in any confrontation or guerrilla warfare to take the gates of Jericho. They did not bring additional men to fight on their behalf. They did not have any special weapons that the people at Jericho did not have. They did not have any special strategies or schemes. what the Israelites did seemed rather silly in terms of how they appeared. Their strategies and schemes were to have seven priests carry trumpets in front of the Ark of the Covenant, followed by the soldiers. They marched around like this once a day for 7 days. They did this 7 times on the last day. After 7 days, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant played the trumpets, and the people gave a loud shout for the wall to collapse. Here again, the Israelites had the priests carry the Ark of the Covenant in the forefront. This also meant a prayer to God that they cannot take the city with their power, but because God promised this land, that they were praying for God to work in His ways. After about 350 years passed after the Israelites settled in the land of Canaan, in the time of Eli as a high priest, Israel lost in the war against the Philistines. At that time, about 4,000 Israelite soldiers were killed. The elders, who were the representatives of the people, then came up with these ideas as explained in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 3. When the soldiers returned to camp, the elders of Israel asked, "Why did the Lord bring defeat on us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Lord's covenant from Shiloh, so that He may go with us and save us from the hand of our enemies." The elders thought that the reason for the loss, for the defeat, was because the Ark was not at the site. At the time, the Ark was a Shiloh, and the elders decided to bring the Ark over. They had no doubt that they would win in that war that they had lost earlier if they had the Ark. They believed that the Philistines would be defeated if they had the Ark and simply marched around Jericho without using any weapons, even once, just as Jericho had fallen in 7 days. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 5 describes how the Israelites reacted when they brought the Ark. When the Ark of the Lord's covenant came into the camp, all Israel raised such a great shout that the ground shook. How happy would the Israelites have been to raise such a great shout that the ground shook? They must have thought that they had already won the war. However, the result of the second war between the Israelites and the Philistines is described in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 10 to 11, like this. So the Philistines fought, and the Israelites were defeated, and every man fled to his tent. The slaughter was very great. Israel lost 30,000 foot soldiers. The Ark of God was captured, and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, died. In the second war, the Israelites did not win, but completely lost the war. While 4,000 people died in the first war, there were 30,000 deaths in the second war. They had also lost the Ark, which they had trusted in. Two of the priests, Hophni and Phinehas, were also killed. How did this happen? When the Israelites were crossing the Jordan, taking over Jericho, and fighting the war with the Philistines, there were similarities and differences between these two wars. The similarity was that they had the Ark at the forefront, and the difference was that the Ark was at first a reality, but later, an illusion. When the Israelites put the ark forward in crossing the Jordan, they did not believe in the ark, but in God, who is the Lord of the ark and not visible to the eyes. However, when the Israelites were fighting in the second war, they put their trust in the ark, which was visible to the eyes. In other words, the reason they took the ark was not to declare that God is in control of whether the war leads to victory or defeat. It was because they wanted to win. This is what happens at the end of holding on to an illusion. At the end of Jesus' life in this world, Jesus was heading to Jerusalem. He was about to be crucified to the cross to die for us in just 5 days. Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, took two of his disciples to get a donkey from a village from the opposite end, and then he rode on this donkey. Jesus looked perhaps silly while riding on this donkey, but people did not mock him or ignore him and his disciples. Verse 37 of Luke chapter 19 describes the scene like this. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. The same scene is described in Matthew 21:7-10 like this. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches of the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" People shouted with all their might and lifted up praises. It was not because Jesus was a very famous actor that people gathered. It was not because Jesus was some famous artist that people shouted and praised him. People sang Hosanna, and it meant save us now. This shout was from the bottom of the heart of these people. The shout did not stop when Jesus entered Jerusalem. The scene was described as the whole city was stirred. The literal meaning of stir or seo is that the earth shook. This word was used to express the shock the people felt when they were invaded by foreign forces. For example, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, it was as if people were experiencing and feeling an earthquake in their thoughts. But Jesus, in entering Jerusalem, was not like a Roman emperor marching in a carriage led by 8 horses and followed by numerous servants bowing down before him. The animal Jesus rode on was a donkey and a little one, a colt, that had never carried another person. This donkey that carried a person for the first time, who was Jesus, would have been unstable. Jesus might have been keeping his feet up to not touch the ground. Also, what was laid before Jesus was not a red carpet. It was the clothes that people had worn and were sweating in, and the palm branches. This seems like a scene from a comedy. Nevertheless, people shouted out to Jesus, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," and "Hosanna in the highest heaven." Why did the people praise him like this with all their might? Was it because they could see Jesus which was not an illusion but a reality, even as Jesus was riding on a donkey and coming through piles of cloaks? Or was it because they deeply understood the plan of God to save the world by having Jesus come as a servant and to die for us on the cross? Let me read verse 37 once again. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. The Mount of Olives is a mountain on the east side of Jerusalem. From this mountain, you could see the temple in Jerusalem, which is on the opposite side. There are pictures of this temple we can find in books or online posts about the tour of Jerusalem, and these pictures were taken from the Mount of Olives. When Jesus reached the temple, the people praised God in loud voices. It was the praise and voices for all the miracles that they had seen. What were all these miracles? John 12:17-18 explains in the following passage. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed the sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." The reason people shouted to Jesus was because Jesus had raised Lazarus, who had died. There were not only the disciples, but a lot of Jewish people who witnessed the scene where Jesus raised up Lazarus. These people who saw what Jesus did started speaking to others about what they had seen, and the talk spread all over Israel. That was the reason why the people were excited when they saw Jesus coming up to Jerusalem. What Jesus did shortly before the crucifixion could be summarized in this way. Jesus opened the eyes of a blind man at the gate of the city of Jericho, and then went to Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and changed his life, which had been enslaved to money. Zacchaeus was so moved by Jesus' visit to his house that he declared he would give half of his wealth to the people in need and repay what he had forcefully taken in fourfold. Jesus later went to Jerusalem. While the disciples were fighting over taking better positions than the others, because once Jesus becomes a king in Jerusalem, Jesus told the story of Menas to teach them to not fall into the delusion and engage in useless acts, but to be faithful to the work given at hand, even if it seems insignificant. Jesus then went to Bethany between Jericho and Jerusalem to raise Lazarus, who had died 4 days ago. He was not only put in the tomb, but also has started rotting. The series of events spread from the disciples to more people, and then to more people. So even as Jesus was on a donkey on the way to Jerusalem, there were people shouting with all their might. However, what they welcomed so passionately was not the reality of the Lord. It was their illusion about the power of Jesus. What they wanted was not the Lord, but the power. They believed that Jesus who opened the eyes of the blind, changed the tax collector who was infamous as being violent and selfish, and Jesus who raised up the body that had been dead for 4 days and buried, that this Jesus could surely make their wishes come true. That was not all. Out of all the miracles Jesus performed, the only one that was recorded in all four books of the gospel was the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish, where Jesus fed at least 10,000 to 20,000 people, including 5,000 adult men, with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. This miracle was recorded in all 4 books of the gospel, which must have meant it was so shocking and important. At that time, the Jewish people who were fed tried to make Jesus their king. They tried to do this forcefully. At the time, Jesus quickly refused them and left to the mountains all by himself. The reason these people tried to make Jesus their king was not because they saw the miracles Jesus performed and believed that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, and the one who would give them eternal life. What they saw was not the Savior Jesus Christ was, but the power of Jesus, which would help them financially. They did not see the reality of Jesus, but the illusion of Jesus, and they had projected their desires in that illusion. If Jesus had become the king as people demanded, if Jesus had become the Lord in this worldly sense, he would have been just one of the kings of Israel, and we would not even know who Jesus was. However, because Jesus did not take this path of illusion that people demanded, because Jesus took the path of reality of the cross, he became the Lord of resurrection and the King of Kings and the King Everlasting who saved the entire humanity. How are your spiritual lives? Do you not confuse illusion and reality? Do you not insist that this is right? Do you not see us ourselves in the midst of the Israelites who saw Jesus riding on a donkey and approaching Jerusalem and praised him in loud voices? Someone who seeks the reality of God and walks in faith may not look very different from someone who seeks an illusion and walks on the same path. However, the result is very different. Both of these people who seek the reality and the illusion might go to the worship service on Sunday, read the Bible, and participate in the Bible study group. They might also serve others. However, while the person seeking the reality goes after God and his word, the person seeking an illusion goes after oneself and secular values. When we hold on to the illusion, believing this is the reality, and walk on, no matter how hard we work, the result is of no value. When it turns out to be not real, the feeling of emptiness will strike. This Thursday is the beginning of the Korean New Year holidays. With COVID-19, it's become difficult to travel and go visit our parents, brothers and sisters, and relatives. However, this is a time that makes us think about our family. Is our family truly seeking God in the reality and not as an illusion? Is our family trusting and loving each other in Christ? If we cannot answer yes to these questions, are we not the same as the people who saw Jesus as an illusion and shouted praises? Let us all live our lives in worship of God, in truth and in spirit. Let us stand on the word of God, and let us establish the word of God to reign over us. Let us all walk in the path of truth and life. This includes anyone who's single. Let us live together with the Lord who is always with us. If we were to seek God in the reality and walk in obedience to the word of God, our home would be a community of life, and the New Year holidays would become the holidays not only for our nation, but also for our faith. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for teaching us through the words given to us today. about what is reality and what is just an illusion. We used to think that what was visible to our eyes was the reality, and what was invisible to our eyes was an illusion. We thank you for teaching us that is not the case. When we were weak in our faith, we could not distinguish the difference between the reality and the illusion. So there were many times we thought an illusion. As we grow in our faith, however, we learn to distinguish the difference between the reality and the illusion. There are still times we still hold on to the illusion, though, and we will sometimes insist that we need the illusion to seek the reality. We will sometimes pretend to hold on to the reality, but actually be holding on to the illusion. Also, the world continuously encourages us to hold on to the illusion. The world would mock us for not going after the illusion, as being not smart, and be leading to the path of falling behind others. Please open our eyes, open the eyes of our hearts, to be able to see the reality of the truth and to talk and walk in that path. Father God, with COVID-19, we may not be able to go visit our parents and family during the holidays this year. However, we ask that you would have the holidays be a chance to examine our faith and to seek you in truth and in spirit, for the holidays to be the holidays not just for our nation, but also for our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.